Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, and it's great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, open it up to Nehemiah 4, verse 14, and we're going to be talking again about how to deal with the enemy in our life when he comes against us, when we're trying to rebuild our life, when we're trying to shore up the walls and rebuild the gates, rebuild the walls. Nehemiah faced this problem. He went back to Jerusalem. He was in captivity over in Babylon. He went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of his city and to reestablish the Lord's stronghold there. And he faced much opposition. And a lot of times we face a lot of opposition. We have good intentions. We have a desire to serve the Lord. We have a desire to come to know the Lord. And we have a desire to be some person of impact here in his kingdom. But many times the devil gets in the way. Many times the devil comes against us and he starts to derail us. He starts to distract us. We don't spend time in prayer like we should. And we don't spend time in Bible study like we should. And the first thing you know, we are far away from the kingdom. We're far away from God. And we're in trouble. We get in trouble with the law. We get in trouble with our spouse or our families. And so I'm going to spend quite a bit of time today just talking about tactics of the enemy and what to look for when you're seeking the Lord, what to look for when you are intent on serving the Lord. Well, in verse 14, chapter 4 of Nehemiah, it says, I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. And so it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. And those who built on the wall, those who carried burdens, loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon. Well, beloved, back to verse 14, it says, remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Beloved, we have a great and mighty God. Remember this in every situation, every day. Get up and give thanks to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord God Almighty, because we serve a mighty God, and He is the one and only true God. His Son is Jesus Christ. Our Jehovah God has a Son, and His Son's name is Jesus. And so it does not matter what is happening out there in the political realm. I know politics consume a lot of people. Sometimes, even myself, I get wrapped up in politics and what's going on in the day-to-day headlines. But we have a God that is greater than all the politics, who is greater than all the politicians, than all of the enemies of America, China, Russia, ISIS, or whoever. He's greater than all of your personal enemies in your workplace, in your family, in whatever situation you find yourself where the enemy is coming against you. We have a God that is greater, and He is mightier than anything that would come against you. And what you have to do is you have to walk with the Lord so that God is working for you, so that God is the leader of your army. That God is the commander of your battle, and the battle is His to fight. And all you have to do then, beloved, is spend time in prayer. You spend time in worship. We'll talk about our weapons of warfare here in just a little bit. But we have to have an understanding of what a great and mighty God we serve. What a great and mighty God we have to fight the battle for us. And if you start each day and you give thanks to the Lord, you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given me this day, and at the age that I am, and some of you out there listening to me today, you're much older and you've been through a lot more battles, and you've come to appreciate what a great and mighty God we have to serve. What a great and mighty God that keeps our head lifted up. He is our shield. Psalm 3:3, He is the lifter of our head, and He is a shield about us, and we serve a mighty God. And when you come to understand that and start to get an image of this great and mighty God, in your life, then the devil starts to diminish. He starts to become less and less, and the cares of the world, those things that you're anxious about, those things that cause you to lose sleep at night or become snappy and become angry, bitter, short with your children or whatever, when you understand that this devil is just a little thing compared to our great and mighty God, then you can go into the battle with great confidence, great assurance, and great boldness. And Nehemiah says, we're going to celebrate this great and awesome God. We're going to give him the honor that is due. We're going to praise him with what he has coming to him. And we are going to fight for our brethren. We're going to fight for our sons and our daughters and our wives and our houses. Beloved, it always pays to contend for righteousness. It always pays to contend for the kingdom of God. It always pays to contend for good health. And it always pays to contend for righteousness in the media, in politics, in your workplace, in your church, wherever God has placed you. You have to contend. You have to battle. This is going to go on all the rest of the days of your life, and so get used to it. You're in a battle if you're a believer. You're in a battle, and even if you're not a believer, you are in a battle. The only thing is the devil is pulling your chains, and the devil is leading you with his army. But if you are a believer, you have an X, you have a target on your back, and the devil is going to try to take you out. But beloved, you are in a battle till the last day that you are here on this earth. And so you are called upon by the Lord. You're expected by the Lord to fight for your family, to fight for your wife, for your children, for your house, for your community, for this nation. You're expected to fight. And if you do that, beloved, you will be rewarded. Seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first and his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you seek the Lord and you seek him first and his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things, all the things that you want for your life, a peaceful home, a loving wife, a loving husband, children that are obedient, good opportunity to make a living here in the workplace, in wherever vocation God has you placed. When you seek the Lord first, then he will add those things to you that you desire for your life. And even to the point where if you seek him first and you go forward in ministry, then God will prosper you, he will bless you, he will protect you, he will cover you, he'll give you the provision you need, he'll give you the prayer warriors to stand with you, the intercessors. And so when you seek him, then he will bless you accordingly. Well, if you notice in verse 16, Nehemiah appoints others to hold the spears, the shields, the bows, and the armor. And the leaders were all behind the house of Judah, and those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Well, that is a picture of spiritual warfare. That is a picture of how we are to defend ourselves no matter what we're doing. You have to keep one eye on the enemy and one eye on your weapon no matter what task you are doing, whether it's in a vocational, what we would call a secular setting, or if it's in a church setting, maybe you're in ministry already, or maybe you've not even come to a place where you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You're in a battle whether you realize it or not, and when you start to move toward the Lord, the enemy is going to come against you, and there are many ways that he will come against you. So get ready for it. Get girded up. Get your sword in your hand. Get your spear in your hand. Get your armor on, and get ready, for the battle is raging. Well, the Bible tells us in Matthew 24 that in the end days, the love of many will grow cold, and there'll be wars, there'll be rumors of wars, there'll be earthquakes, there'll be famines. It doesn't paint a very happy picture or a very joyful picture of what is coming in the days ahead, in the end days, and we're starting to see in America and in other places this lack of civility and people attacking each other on Twitter and on Facebook and attacking each other in ways that would have been unthinkable 20 or 30 years ago. It would have been unimaginable for people to attack each other in these ways, and now it's just commonplace. People calling each other all kinds of names, and so people's love for each other is growing cold. People's civility for each other is starting to wane. And so the enemy in chapter 4, verse 1, it says that Sanballat and Tobiah, they were furious and indignant when they found out the Jews had come back to rebuild the walls, and they mocked the Jews. And so you're going to be mocked. There's a mocking spirit in those who don't know the Lord Jesus. There is a mocking spirit. They will always say, "You fools, you're just believing in something that's a fantasy. You're believing something that is just a fairy tale. And how can you believe in that? How can you trust in the Lord? You can't see him. How can you trust in the Bible? It was just written by men, and it's a bunch of fairy tales. It's a bunch of fables. And if you believe all that, you're very gullible." So there will always be a mocking spirit. 2 Peter 3:3 says, "Know this first, that scoffers or mockers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" And so we always see this mocking spirit. Beloved, get used to it. If you're a believer, people are going to mock you. There will even be people in your own family mock you. Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring division. I came to bring a sword to divide families." And the sword is the word of God. Jesus said, "I came to divide," and the division is going to be over the truth of my word. Can you believe my word? Can you believe that my Father sent me, and he sent me to speak truth, and he sent me to destroy the works of the devil? Can you believe that, says Jesus? Can you believe in the works that I did, the miracles, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, the casting out of demons? Jesus said, "If you don't believe in me, believe in the works that I did." And that's the reason God even today gives miracles. It's to point towards him. It's to point towards the extraordinary supernatural nature of Jesus Christ and Jehovah God. Well, in the last days, which is what we were in right now, the last days, I believe, started in 1948, which was an acceleration of the last days when the nation of Israel was brought back together. People were brought from the four corners of the earth, the four winds of the earth, to establish the nation of Israel. I believe that is God's prophetic time clock, and that is the time when the last days really accelerated and really kicked in to the 11th hour. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, Paul tells Timothy, "Know this, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." And so Paul is telling Timothy, in the last days, it's going to get ugly, it's going to get messy. People are going to turn on each other, they're going to betray each other. All they're going to be concerned about is their own pleasure and satisfying their own basic lusts and their own basic desires for pleasure and to fulfill their selfish needs. They're going to be proud and boasters and lovers of money. Well, we see that, beloved. We see that being displayed in people's behavior today, and the devil is running amok. Whole countries are being run by cartels, and whole countries are being run by people with very demonic behavior and very demonic attitudes. And so you can easily see that what Paul was talking about, what Paul was prophesying to Timothy, it has come to pass. Well, as Christians, we're not just to accept that and say, "Bring it on, devil." We're not just to accept that and say, "Well, I hope it comes quickly so we can get out of here. I hope, Jesus, you come quickly so that we can get out of here." We have to contend. We have to fight for our families. We have to fight for righteousness. We have to fight for this country. And we have to keep believing that God wants to bless us, that God is intent on blessing us if we do the right thing, if we contend for righteousness, if we contend in prayer and in Bible study and fellowship and fasting, all these ways, then God is going to bless us. So we have to believe God's word that he is for us and not against us. And then 2 Timothy 3:5, Paul says that there will be a form of godliness, but it denies its power, and from such people turn away. There will be many people, and you hear about it all the time, people talking about God, people talking about spirituality, people talking about anointings and all of these things, and I'm not against any of those things. I'm just saying there'll be a lot of people talking about these things, but they will deny the power of God. They will not acknowledge that God is a supernatural God, that God shows up with power. Paul talked about in other scriptures that he didn't come with eloquent speech and he wasn't trying to be persuasive in his speech. He came with power to show people the power of God and how God is an extraordinary, powerful, supernatural God, and that through him, the power of God can make people see that he is the one true God, that he is the God, Jehovah God, who created the universe. He is the Jehovah God who created all things. And so we know that he is a supernatural God, that he is a God of power. And so Paul says, don't deny the power of God. Don't just listen to people that talk about spirituality or talk about this or that, but look for people that can display in their life the power of our living God. Another tactic of the enemy is that they conspire together, the enemy does, to take down the people of God, to take down those who are contending for the kingdom. In Nehemiah 4:7, it says that as the Sanballat and Tobiah and the Ammonites saw the gaps being closed, they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Well, that is a tactic of the enemy to sow confusion between the brethren, to get the brethren not focused on the enemy but attacking each other. And so there's always an attempt by the enemy to bring division in the church, to bring division in families, to bring division in the nation. And we see now, of course, in this nation, a very divided nation. People are probably more divided in this nation than I've ever seen it before. People are divided in the church. There's many pastors standing up in the church and pointing fingers at other people in the church, calling people out from the pulpit. And so the enemy will try to sow confusion, he will try to sow division, and he will conspire together to bring people against each other who are in the fellowship. Matthew 12:43 is a very interesting scripture. It says Jesus spoke about an unclean spirit when it goes out of a man, and he goes through dry, waterless places seeking rest, and he finds none. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it shall be with this wicked generation. Well, Jesus is talking about spiritual warfare here. Whenever you cast the enemy out of your life, whenever you set about to rebuild the walls and rebuild the gates and cast the enemy out of your life, he goes out into the dry, waterless places. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about casting the enemy out of your life. He goes out into the dry, waterless places, and then he comes back, and he checks to see if the Holy Spirit is really filling up your house, if the Spirit of God has filled your house, or if you've just left it vacant, if you've left an empty place there. And if there's an empty place there, if you truly have not filled up your holy temple with the Spirit of the living God, with the Holy Spirit, and that devil comes back and he finds an empty place there, it says he goes and gets seven more spirits, wicked, more wicked than himself, and they come and then they occupy. And so now you've got eight there instead of just one that are taking up residence within your holy temple. And so this is the nature of addictions, how people can come out of rehab and their hair is combed, their shirt is buttoned up, they look like they're doing pretty good, they look like they've got a new grip on life, But when they go back out into the world and back out to their neighborhood and they start hanging around with their old buddies again or hanging around the places that the devil is in control, it says the devil comes and checks them out, and then he goes and gets seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they come back and they take over that person's temple. And the last state of that man is much worse than the first. And so the secret to keeping the enemy from conspiring against you, the secret from keeping the enemy from multiplying his numbers inside of you, is you have to make steps to fill up your temple, fill up your body, your spirit, your mind, your heart, fill it up with the Spirit of the living God. You do that through Bible study, you do that through prayer, get on your knees and you ask the Lord to come and give you strength. You ask the Lord to come and kick the devil out of your life. You ask the Lord to come and restore confidence, restore your faith. And then you get on your knees and you pray and you trust God that His Word is true. You start to act in faith instead of in fear. And you step out in faith and you ask the Lord to fill you up with His strength, with His power. And so you're not relying on your own meager human power. Well, Matthew 12:29, in terms of casting out the devil, the Lord says, "How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house, and he who is not with me," Jesus says, "is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." And so if you want the devil out of your life, you have to invite something in that's stronger than the devil. You have to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, and you have to take Him into your life and take the Holy Spirit of God as resident in your life, so that that Spirit can bind the strong man in your life and you can cast that devil out of your life. When you allow the Lord to come in with His power, with the supernatural power, "Greater is He that is in you," 1 John 4:4. "Greater is He that is in you than that little he that is in the world." When you allow the Lord God Almighty and His power to come and reside in you, He is going to kick the devil out. He is going to bind the strong man, and the devil will not be a match for him. And that's the way you get set free. That's the way you break the chains that are holding you in bondage, in drug addiction, in pornography, in bankruptcy, in alcoholism, whatever state of affairs that is in your life that is running roughshod in and out of the gates and walls of your life. You have to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and bind the strong man, and He can kick the strong man out. And you do this through prayer, through fasting, through fellowship, through study of God's Word, through worship and praise, and through service to the kingdom. Those are the weapons of your warfare in allowing the Lord to come in to kick the devil out. Well, I'm going to close with this scripture here in verse 16. "And so it was from that time on that half my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears. And those who built on the wall, those who carried burdens, loaded themselves, so that with one hand they worked at construction, and with the other hand they held a weapon." Beloved, I hope that is a good lesson for you today. You have to have the sword of the Spirit and your weapons of warfare in one hand, and with the other you do the work, you set about, and you get your mind set on some kingdom pursuits, and you do the work, whatever it is God is calling you to do today. I ask you to pray about it, step forward in faith. Maybe it's to take the first step of faith and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to take that little measure of faith that He has put in you and say, "Jesus, I believe You are who You say You are. I believe You are the Son of God, and I want to trust You to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to be the master of my ship, the master of my fate." And if you do that, the first step is to accept Jesus, repent of your sins, follow it up with Christian baptism, and the Lord then will bless you and keep you, and you are in the army of the living God. For those of you who are mature believers, God is speaking to you right now to be doing something you're not doing. God is placing a call on your life and a destiny into your heart, and when you get started moving in that direction, you will be fulfilled, you will be blessed, you'll receive that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing and you will move forward in your life, and you can say bye-bye to the devil, as he can't keep up with you and he cannot withstand when the Lord Jesus takes over in your life. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I invite all of you to sit down and write out a check today, or take your credit card, go to my website, gathertheoutcast.com, and make a donation with your credit card. We need your support to stay on the air. We need your support to move the projects of this ministry forward in Africa, the orphanage building, the Living Water Orphanage, and the crusades that we're planning for this summer. I invite you all to participate, to come alongside, to get on the winning side, and get on the Lord's bandwagon with Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.